Hey, you know, I was almost to your neck of the woods today. I drove up to Fall River.
Oh, I didn't get an alert.
No, well, that's because I turned it off.
They're supposed to warn me when you enter the state.
You know how I know I'm in Massachusetts? Because the roads are paved. That's how.
And your wallet's empty of taxes.
Yeah, that's right. Well, not in my wallet, yours. Oh, actually,
you're in Mass?
You're in New Hampshire.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, I was in the land of the Mass holes today. But Fall River is beautiful.
Yeah.
And I went up there. Yeah. And I went up there to a Portuguese grocery store where they have like seven different kinds of homemade sausages. And I bought one of each.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's all. Nothing funny about it. Just I have sausage now.
There you go. I haven't been to Fall River in a long time.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, so we start this thing?
Sure.
Okay. So nothing really happened in security this week.
Well, Dwayne's out of town, so we had to tell everybody to stop hacking.
Yeah. It's a slow week. We'll just talk about sausages. Of course, Facebook face planted.
Let's start
not only
there.
That, but Facebook, Instagram and WhatsApp, all owned by, wait for it, Facebook.
So the reason this is a security story, because it's not really a security story, is that a lot of people that I've talked to saw a conspiracy theory of, is it a coincidence? It can't be a coincidence that this woman testified in Congress and then Facebook went down. Somebody must have taken it down.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah. And I was always like, yeah, it's definitely a coincidence. There's probably no causality. And now we know it was a DNS BGP problem.
So I knew it had something to do with DNS because I saw a Facebook haiku. It's not DNS. There's no way it's DNS. It was DNS.
Well, what's DNS? We should define that.
Yeah, so I know a little bit about this. It stands for Domain Name System or Domain Name Services. And this is how names like Facebook.com get translated into IP addresses like, 164 dot whatever dot whatever dot this. And basically, those IP address numbers are the addresses of connections to the internet. We used to say they identify a computer on the internet, but really it identifies a connection to the internet. So if you have two or three different network interfaces in your computer, each one would have a different IP address.
So I have a great analogy, which is you and I are old enough to remembering phone numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a thing of the past.
That's right.
There are many people who know no phone numbers whatsoever, except for maybe their own.
I remember
giving it to someone.
Yeah, I remember getting a call from my first wife's father who said, hey, can you give me your phone number again? And I thought that was... It was like, hey, has Jack Daniels been nipping at your nose? Because... And he says, no, because I programmed it into my phone. And when I want to call you, I just hit a button. So I really don't know your phone number.
Yeah. Yeah, it's happening to all of us. I remember remembering like a dozen phone numbers at any given time. Well, yeah. DNS is like phone numbers. So if you had to remember everyone's phone number, you'd be limited. There wouldn't be that many you could remember. With DNS, you can remember catchy names like Amazon and Microsoft and IBM and things like that. And so it's a translation system. And BGP is basically a mapping system for resolving that because it's not just one big database, one big server that answers all questions. There's a hierarchy or network or a map of servers. And so BGP provides that backbone hierarchy for the mapping, and DNS is the service. And it was a misconfiguration that then locked the administrators out of their own infrastructure. And the security part of the story really comes here because they couldn't get access to their data center very easily because it was so secure. The people who were the administrators had made a mistake, and they lost a lot of time trying to get access to the systems to fix them.
Oops.
And so again, convenience is the enemy of security.
Is the enemy of security.
That should be the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
This was a big news getter. This was a big headline. And a lot of people thought it was a hack.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a self hack. you know,
a self-imposed hack.
Yes, yes, an own goal, whatever you want to call it. Nothing nefarious here, just some lessons to learn.
Yep, and I oop.
So that's a big story, but it really doesn't merit that much discussion. There's no need for everybody to become experts in DNS and BGP and things like that.
No, but I mean, I think a lot of people have sort of, I had that conversation with my daughter, you know, and I sent her the Facebook haiku and she goes, ah, what's DNS? So, you know, it's a good learning opportunity.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's kind of right. I mean, you don't call, well, now you do, you just tell your phone, you know, call Pat, but, or whatever, call Carl. But if you ultimately, a phone number needs to be used because that is the address or that is the way.
That's what the network act, that's how the network finds it.
That's right. Yeah.
And so there's an attack called DNS poisoning, where if I can get your DNS resolution to be something that I give you instead, and when you go to Citibank, I can send you to my version of the site.
Right.
And you're probably not going to know the difference because I'm going to steal all their graphics and stuff like that. So DNS is very important. It's like the first step. It would be like if you were going to authorize a cash transfer from your Swiss bank account because you're a Bond villain.
Right.
And I managed to swap the phone number for the bank with my phone number and I took the call. I could man in the middle you and steal the money.
That's such a MacGyver thing.
It is very MacGyver.
Yeah.
Dwayne would be working on a proof of concept right now if he were on the call.
He probably is.
So that's the Facebook thing. Anything else you think we should discuss in that?
I don't know. I mean, BGP is kind of the thing that, rather than DNS, that caused the problem. And as you said before, we didn't really talk about this, but I'll link to an article called BGP Explained, which is the protocol that may be behind Facebook's outage.
We should be careful about accusing BGP of making the problem because the problem was a bad command.
Well, that's true. So ultimately, it came down to human error.
Yeah, they issued a bad command, and Facebook actually has an auditing tool that's supposed to detect commands that are going to cause problems, and it failed to detect it. And now they'll probably update their algorithm and their steps. It's unlikely it will happen again. But you and I remember the nines of reliability. Remember the nines of reliability?
Yeah, that's right. Five nines of reliability means your website is going to be up 99.999% of the time.
And that means you can be down about 6 minutes a year.
Yeah, if you're talking about a year, yeah.
Right. Yep. So Facebook and Microsoft and Amazon, these companies, they deal in more than five nines.
Yeah.
Because they have redundancy so many places. But this is an example of something that it's the backbone. It's the root. They didn't have a redundancy. They didn't have a way to snap back. And maybe they'll work on that next.
Maybe.
Or actually, the new employees will work on that.
Hope so. And just in case you thought Amazon wasn't in the news this week, the entirety of Twitch, which is owned by Amazon, right?
Yeah, that's a big one.
Reportedly been leaked. And this is a story from October 6th. So it definitely has been leaked. This was yesterday.
I think that's worse than the Facebook one. The Facebook one got more headlines, but this one is far worse because now
it's a hack.
It's a straight up hack. And I haven't seen how they got in yet because I don't think they know.
Yeah.
And the other problem is now when you have the source code, you can find other vulnerabilities.
Yeah. So let's just tell people what happened. Somebody stole the source code to Twitch.
Pretty much every digital asset that Twitch had.
Right.
Since the beginning, including the original old versions of it.
And user payouts. So I guess it was 128 gigs worth of data that was all zipped up and available on the torrent sites.
The hacker seems to want competition, and we're hoping to give a head start to those who want to compete with Twitch.
Yeah.
They have an axe to grind. Hacktivism is on the rise, so maybe this is part of it.
Sure.
But this is a big problem for Twitch because, one, somebody could spin up a competitive site that's 99% their code. Somebody could pour through that, or some 100,000 somebodies could pour through that code and find other zero-day vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
And maybe get into them in the future without as public a splash. And it's also privacy data. They're revealing, they've dropped the ball on the privacy of their people, their content creators.
Yeah. And so basically what they're, the call to action for those who have Twitch accounts is to log in, and if you don't have multi-factor authentication, turn it on. And if your password isn't, even if your password is strong, change it.
Yeah. So, and make it strong. Make it long. Strong.
Yeah.
Longer passwords are stronger passwords.
Right. And especially, and
that has the benefit of rhyming.
Yeah. And especially if they're not easy to remember. If they're not easy to remember for you, then they won't be easy to guess. So
yeah, it is possible to create passwords that you can remember if you have a good memory,
right,
that are strong.
And sentences and phrases are always better than just words.
Passphrases. However, there's a lot of designs out there that won't let you leave a 20-character password.
Hmm.
And so, you know, if you have 15-character password, 3 5-letter words is pretty good password.
Yeah. And I posted this link on Facebook, and Jeff Fritz, who's a huge Twitch guy, says changing your Twitch password will also rotate your stream key if you're a broadcaster. So that means don't forget to change the password of, you know, your API keys and your bots and applications that are connected. You may have to go into your OBS system and change the stream key. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was the first developer I knew that was streaming, although he might not have been the first, but he got big into it.
Yeah, he's the first big Twitcher that I know of. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a bad one for them. I hope they recover.
Is there any good news today, this week?
My site didn't get hacked as far as I know.
Well, so that's good news. But actually, yeah, there's some more bad news in there.
Notice I added as far as I know.
Hedging, that's what that is.
So I consider it good news because the UK is doing something, but it's because of bad news. And so there's a story I definitely think we should talk about that we discussed earlier, which is there's a lawsuit in Alabama against a hospital because a child is allegedly that died because of a ransomware attack. The hospital was under a ransomware attack in 2019. And at that time, a child that was in their care died.
Not just a child, but a baby.
A baby, yes. Yeah. And so if ransomware starts causing deaths, that's big deal.
Yeah.
And it probably already has. And this is highlighting it. So what's that mean? Well, it's one of those things that's going to make it far, far less palatable for us to just sit by and let it happen.
Right.
And I think this is going to be one of those things that turns the tide to make it illegal to pay a ransom, because you might argue, if I don't pay the ransom, my patients might die. But if you pay the ransom, 5 other hospitals are going to get ransomwared because they're just going to roll the money into the next attacks.
Right. You said very early on in the show that you believe the best way to prevent ransomware is to make it illegal to pay a ransom.
Yeah. And I think if they can... This is that we had the Tomahawk show. I also believe that if you can get attribution and find out who did it, then it's an attack on our soil and we should throw a tomahawk their way or do something.
Right. Make it expensive.
Appropriately nasty. Well, it should be an act of war and we should respond in kind. I know it's a controversial statement, but most of the time we think we know who did it. In the times when we are sure we know who did it, we should, you know, put them on a war crimes list or try to extradite them or freeze all their assets or throw a tomahawk their way.
There's also, I think, a little bit of glamour people associate with these kind of hacking crime. Like, oh, wow, that's a clever criminal, you know, the way we would look at like James Bond or something like that, you know, and not really understanding that if we let this go unpunished, then
it's going to keep getting worse.
Yeah, it's going to keep getting worse.
Stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there was something I wasn't really going to bring up, but there was a guy in Russia who is a security guy who runs a company similar to ours, who has been arrested and charged with treason in Russia, ostensibly because he asserted that Russia is allowing a safe haven for ransomware and other hackers.
Huh.
And so now he's been arrested and charged. because he's basically said he's pointed out that the emperor has no clothes.
Right.
So even people inside some of these countries are seeing, you know, how blatant and brazen they are. But, you know, we are looking for good news. Neither right. of those is good news.
Right.
The lawsuit, I think, will help change the tide in attitudes on this, but it'll take some time. But maybe one of the signs of the change is the fact that the UK plans on spending billions of dollars to build up an ability to respond to these threats. Basically, if you hit a UK hospital after 2030, mm-hmm. there's a chance that somebody's going to come and reach through the internet and grab you by the throat.
Or a physical retaliation, as you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. They're starting to fund that capability, not only to hack back, but also potentially to provide a physical response.
Wow.
Now, the hardest thing about that, and I mention it every time this topic comes up, is attribution. If I did the hack, but I made it look like you, it's a way to frame you, and it may be a way for me to get two birds with one stone. I hack my target, and then I blame you for it, so my target takes you out. Yeah. So you have to be dead sure about attribution.
Right.
And that's a difficult thing.
Yeah, sure is.
So, but we have the same problem in the real world. If you watch the movies, the mercenaries are always using equipment from a country other than their own, and there's, you know, all sorts of Mission Impossible switcheroos. Mm. That still exists in the real world. It's just not as common as people think. Online, it's easier to cover your tracks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in a more shocking, serious, immediate patch your web servers now story, Apache has a zero-day exploit in the wild, and it's bad.
Yeah. This is in the category that we call .pwn.
Yeah.
Basically, you have a server that isn't appropriately keeping you in the sandbox. So when you have a request, you make a request inside the directory or directories of the web server, and you're not supposed to be able to get out of it, because that would be bad. Then you'd be on the root system and you'd be able to run wild.
Right.
And this is an example of that. And it's a new problem in that it was introduced in a specific version. It's not something that's been lingering in there for a very long time.
Right.
So you're actually safe if you're on one of the older versions that doesn't have this, you're safe from this vulnerability.
Yeah.
And it's a directory traversal exploit. So I'd go in, I'd find your website, I'd figure out what version of Apache you're running. If you're on the vulnerable version, I'd put a path in, and then I'd basically tell the path to go down to a certain directory, and then up a directory, up a directory, up a directory, up a directory, all the way out of the safe directories,
right,
into the operating system, and then down into something like software, a management software that would give me access or let me execute code.
Is this like a Linux thing? It seems like, you know, getting outside the sandbox is a common exploit in Linux.
It is, but it was a Microsoft thing for a while too. It's just that Microsoft got hit with it a lot, and it was like a rope-a-dope for Microsoft for a while, but it was a long time ago. Microsoft got hit with one, fixed it, got hit with another, fixed it. And it was right around the time, I think, I may be misremembering, but I think it was around the time when they got real religious about security for a little while.
Yeah.
When the book Secure Code came out, and Michael Howard and those guys were roaming the halls in Redmond.
Yeah. This is just another reason to move to a cloud service, right? And not a box, not a virtual machine. Because, you know, a Windows machine or a Linux machine is set up to do a lot more than just, you know, be a web server.
Well, that's where containers
come in. Containers, yeah. Perfect example of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we don't need to get into what a container is, but it's essentially this just piece of
stripped down.
Yeah, piece of stripped down server that only exists as a web server. There isn't any outside path. You can't go into it and, you know, find the rest of the operating system.
It's just what it needs to be.
Yeah.
It's just an environment to host. It's a life support system for an application.
Yeah.
Instead of a full operating system. That's really what a container is.
I feel we're getting a little over geeky for the audience.
Yeah, I think we are.
Maybe we should lighten it up a little. So what else you got?
So some little things. For example, there's some people taking advantage of other people's misery. They're masquerading messages as Amnesty International and offering solution for the Pegasus spyware, and it's malware. Which, you know, that was not mighty nice of them.
It's a right? kind of a theme with malware is that a lot of it starts with a message that pops up on your web browser that says, you know, you're infected with a virus, click here to get rid of it. And by clicking on the click here to get rid of it, you're actually installing it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. It's perfect psychological warfare because people who are concerned about viruses and don't know any better are the target audience.
Yeah, but it's so much. It's in the 90 percentile of the population. Hmm. It's getting harder and harder to tell friend from foe.
Right.
And they're really the attacks are coming at more and more, you know, higher levels. For example, a new report shows that cyber attacks against maritime transportation grew 400% last year.
So container ships, that kind of stuff?
Things like that. Yeah. Not just them, but also the systems they use and targeting those companies.
Wow.
You know, they're going where the money is, but they're creeping around the edges of critical systems.
Mm.
And I'd say they're already in the critical systems based on the hospital story.
It's terrible.
It is. So the theme is, I guess, the sky is falling. Maybe that's the theme for today.
Okay.
Well, it's death of a thousand cuts. The Facebook story was a big story. There were some lessons to be learned, but it wasn't a security breach. It was a cell phone. It was a mistake. There was no master plan. Facebook security, you know, wasn't toppled. And you know, the UK story is a pretty good story in that, you know, we got governments that are thinking about this stuff and thinking about how to protect us. The Apache story is, you know, we have those all the time. I probably could rattle off three other things like SonicWall that had vulnerabilities recently.
Apache is the name of a web server, and
yes,
it's called Apache not because it has any kind of links to Native America or anything like that. But it's because when it came out, there were so many patches that they called it Apache web server. Patchy, P-A-T-C-H-Y. It was an Apache web server. True story.
It's very popular. It's used very widely.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's free. It's open. It's an open and free platform.
Yeah.
The one that bothers me, the two stories that I think are the worst are the baby.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, certainly horrible, sad. And the Twitch one, because that's a total ownage.
Right.
And like I said, I haven't seen, maybe I haven't looked deep enough, but I haven't seen a root cause of how they got in. So the vulnerabilities might still be there.
Mm. Terrible.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So I've been looking into like where the future goes and what kind of encryption we'll be using and things like that. And this is probably the geekiest subject I'll bring up, so you tell me if it's not,
okay,
if it's too deep. But have you ever heard of homeomorphic encryption?
What'd you call me?
Homeomorphic encryption.
No, but let me...
I called you a morphic.
Let me take a... Morphic means changing, mm-hmm, and homeo means system, doesn't it?
It's like set or group.
Yeah.
In this regard. So I started looking at this. I'm deep into quantum... got another podcast that I do with a mutual friend of ours on quantum. And I look at where encryption's going when quantum makes public-private key encryption vulnerable.
Mm.
And this homeomorphic, is based on linear algebra. So it's a fun read, puts you to sleep right away.
Okay.
But the real reason it's popular now, or getting popular, is that it promises to allow you to upload things like medical records to the cloud and allow some third party to do processing and data and analytics on the data without ever having decrypted it.
Oh, what could go wrong?
Well, actually, nothing, because the data remains unencrypted the entire time it's being worked on.
Well, then how can they work on it?
Exactly. It's a math. What basically they do an encryption where the mathematical operations on the data is maintained so that when you get the answer, all you have to decrypt is the answer. You don't have to decrypt any of the data to get the answers. Now, I'm still digging into it.
Sounds like
magic.
Sounds like Portuguese sardines over open coals. Oh, no, that's dinner.
So this is an example of something that you brought up, the cloud, and the cloud's great because they're going to be much more secure than you are going to be able to be.
Yeah, that's right.
But there's also the thorny issue of if I put some data in the cloud, I might violate certain compliance.
That's
if I
true.
Give certain people access to it, especially patient records. Mm-hmm. And so there's a search for a way to have our cake and eat it too. And this encryption may be it. Now, the other aspect of this encryption is there's no known way to use quantum to attack it. Mm. That could change, of course.
Yeah.
But it means that it's along with elliptical curve encryption, it's something that might replace the prime multiplication of prime encryption that we use now. So, you know, futures,
yeah.
It's always good to look at that stuff. The good news out of this is you don't have to understand it to use it.
Okay.
Once it hits mainstream, just like most people don't understand the math with regular encryption now to use it. Mm-hmm. But we're already, the future is starting to become clearer as far as we get threats, we also get, you know, ways to mitigate them.
Yeah. Wow. So the sky is falling. I don't know. I think I'd like to call this show Okay Facebook.
Okay Facebook. As in Okay Boomer?
Yeah, or Okay Karen.
Okay Facebook.
Okay Facebook. Yeah. It was actually kind of nice because I got to take a break from being completely insane for a day.
Yeah, it filled the news cycle and it unfortunately it pushed some other stories out of the limelight.
Right.
But that's the way it is.
And
sometimes.
And this show is no different.
That's true.
We need ratings, man. Ratings.
Get on that.
Yeah.
I think that the Facebook story, if it made some people understand what DNS is,
yeah.
and some people understand what BGP is, that's great.
Yep.
It also does refute the idea that this was some kind of conspiracy. There's one conspiracy I heard someone said that it didn't refute, but I still don't believe it, which is that Facebook did this to themselves to take the news away from them. I don't think that succeeded.
No, it didn't succeed, no. Facebook's got problems.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And by extension, so do we all. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've always been bad about setting rules for emerging technologies. Social media is really not emerging anymore. It's kind of, you know, a last decade technology now.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I know.
But we still haven't figured out how to regulate it or what we should regulate, things of that nature.
Well, Patrick, it's about that time. And, I'm sure Dwayne will be back next week. Is next week just Dwayne and not you, or are you both going to be back?
No, we're both back.
Oh, cool. What's he doing, by the way?
He's on a vacation in an undisclosed place with his family.
Ah, very good.
In a nice bunker.
Excellent. That's where he should be. See you next week.
Thanks. See you soon.
All right, bye.